Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Great, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing excellent.
Good. Always good to be here on Saturday night talking about God's Word. And I think we've had a long series of shows where we've been talking about how St. Paul wanted to preach only about the cross and didn't want to know anything except Christ and Him crucified, and said that to the Corinthians, and talked about how he didn't want to use eloquent words and he didn't want to preach in his own word. He just wanted to give all the credit of everything that happened to the cross, and that this was the center of salvation and this was the center of the whole plan of salvation in the scriptures. And I think we did, I don't know, five or six shows about that.
Yeah.
Because the Lord just kept having the thing going. And even when we wanted to do something else, we kind of ended up going back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight we're going to continue with that, but maybe in a little different way. And it still is going to have to do with something about Paul, because Paul, like we've said before, is such an amazing example of a heart that's transformed. We knew about, you know, we talked in the past about Peter and John and some of these guys that walked around with Jesus and weren't really very smart, but they were kind of hanging around and they learned a lot of things, and they were not the same type of person that Paul was. Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, was a Pharisee, and he knew the law, and he said no one was more zealous for the law than him, and no one was progressing in Judaism more than him, and that suddenly he becomes the apostle of grace and the apostle to the Gentiles, which is something he never would have been before. And he gets, of course, miraculously converted on the road to Damascus, and then as he starts to preach, he preaches only the cross, and he preaches only that as the way into the kingdom and the only way of the salvation. And he says that all the things that he did before and all the things that he learned before were all counted as lost. They were all counted as rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
And so today we're going to talk a little bit about a little more about Paul, but also why he comes to that realization and how he teaches it and how he kind of unpacks it in the book of Romans, which is just a terrific book. It's kind of like the constitution of Christianity. And we're going to start in Romans 3, but Steve, you want to make any comments before we go on?
Well, you covered it pretty well. It's, you know, there's so much that Paul talked about to the different communities as he ministered the gospel. And like you said, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the law. He understood Torah. And when he came in contact, when he had that encounter with the risen Christ,
mm-hmm.
it just transformed him. And as the Holy Spirit, and we've talked about this on the show before, as the Holy Spirit had started falling upon the Gentiles in full measure, and God was showing no partiality,
mm-hmm.
you know, he wasn't rationing out the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. to some and giving full Holy Spirit to others. And if you think about it, then somebody could boast, well, I got more of that than you did.
Yeah.
So, you know, God's not, you can see God's not,
there's no boasting.
There's no boasting there. And even when he goes to the communities, you know, he's preaching. He always says, I don't want to come here with eloquent words, but I want to know Christ and Him crucified. And he's mm-hmm. preaching in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. Yeshua HaMashiach. And through that, signs and wonders begin to happen. The Holy Spirit's falling upon these believers, and they're encountering and they're experiencing the presence of God in a way that they never have before. And these signs and wonders are abundant. And as we've talked about, you know, the apostles or the disciples that were still in Jerusalem, you know, they would come back and go forth and they'd say, well, mm-hmm. you know, this is happening here and this is happening up in Antioch. This is happening here in, you know, Philippi. And okay, what's going on?
They were getting emails from all these guys.
They were getting emails, text messages and, oh no, wait a minute. They didn't have that back then. We got carried away. But all this wonderful, all these wonderful things are happening because God's pouring out his spirit upon all flesh, as mm-hmm. it says in Joel.
Mm-hmm.
And God's still doing that today.
Amen.
You know, and with what we're talking about here is that Paul comes to the realization that although the law, following God and keeping his commands is important, faith is a free gift
mm-hmm.
that cannot be earned.
Amen.
And I think that kind of probably sums up where what he came to.
Yeah. That's good background.
Do we have to do the rest of the show now or no?
Yeah, we do. Okay. Actually, we can just stop now. That's the good background because after all, you know, everything, as we always say, everything starts with Adam and Eve in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And here we had, you know, the sin problem where we couldn't approach a holy God because we were defective sinners. I mean, we in the sense of humanity.
Right.
I mean, you and I too.
Right.
But I mean, but
right.
we in the sense of humanity. And, you know, when Paul was so radically transformed, you have to understand that he was raised in the law.
Right.
And the first covenant was a covenant of law. I mean, certainly God gave grace in the Old Testament, but the covenant between God and his people was one of law.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 613, and your righteousness and your acceptability was measured by how well you kept the law,
mm-hmm.
all of the law. And it says if you violate one, it's the same as violating them all.
Right.
And now with this radical conversion that he's had, and as the gospel is going out, he has this sort of problem of, as you're talking about, Gentiles are coming into the kingdom.
Yeah.
Now, true. Gentiles were not covenant people.
Mm-hmm.
They were, for the most part, not even circumcised. I mean, yikes.
Yeah, exactly.
They, you know, didn't wash their hands before they ate. They ate shellfish and pork and any number of things. They had statues of gods. I mean, these people were totally outside of the covenant of Moses.
Pagan as you can get.
Yeah, pagan as you can get. Card-carrying pagans. And they were our ancestors and probably most of you listening's ancestors. And now we have kind of a new situation where you have the covenant people, but now you have the non-covenant people. You know, Paul talks about them as the circumcision and the non-circumcision. You have the non-covenant people who are now accepting the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and are worshiping the God of Israel and understand that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah. And by the cross and the sacrifice of Christ, they are being saved.
Mm-hmm.
So a whole new paradigm is opened up now where the non-covenant Gentiles are coming to this faith, coming to this realization, and are coming up to Paul and Peter and all these other guys saying, hey, we want to be in your congregation. We want to be in your church. We mm-hmm. want to be in your assembly or whatever it is you want to call it.
Right.
We want to be baptized. We want to learn what this is all about. And they were getting saved everywhere they went. And churches were being started. And, you know, the whole thing was just going all around the known world.
Right.
And so there was this new setup here. And Paul was in the forefront of it. Now, you know, we see our friend Peter. You know, Stephen and I like to pick on Peter here and there because he's so he's such an interesting character. But, you know, every once in a while, Peter would get, like, nervous about, like, what to do with Gentiles. And some of the other guys would say, Peter, you can't be hanging around with these Gentiles. And he'd go, mm-hmm. yeah, you're right. And then Paul would say, listen, Peter, there's no more Jew. There's no more Greek. Everybody's in the kingdom now.
Yeah.
And Peter would say, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot for a minute. So, you know, there was, like, this kind of you know, there was kind of this kind of uncertainty because when you stop and think about it, this was a radical change from the life that these guys had been living.
Yeah, we're kind of laughing about at this a little bit, but we're not really trying to make light of it. But you know, in light of what we know in 2,000 years of church history, we can look at it and go, well, gosh, yeah, why didn't they see that?
You know? Exactly.
But if you're walking in this, I mean, you have really have to put yourself back to their time where they didn't have the New Testament.
Exactly.
They were living the New Testament.
Exactly.
They were going to write the letters in a few short years.
Yes.
So they didn't have all this stuff. And they didn't
have a pack full of scrolls, but it was all the Old Testament.
Exactly. The lenses that they were seeing history through are different than what we see history through today, because we've, you know, there's been more history since their time. But as they were experiencing the manifestation of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon all believers or upon all flesh, and then they, you know, people came to believe, then they would meet, convene, you know, have a meeting, have a council, or whatever, you know, term you want to use. And then they would pray about these things, discuss them, and then they would come to some decision or conclusion. Mm-hmm. And it's the beginning of the apostolic age and apostolic succession of the teachings of Christianity, the teachings of the church. And, you know, I was, you have to look at the whole of the New Testament, all the epistles, all the writings, to look at the different facets, the different aspects of what are the apostles teaching? What are the disciples of teaching, of Jesus teaching? Because we have to remember that Jesus said, I'm going to send to the Father, but I'm going to send you another advocate, and he's going to remind you of all the things that I told you. Because Jesus always said, I only told you what my Father told me. And the Holy Spirit's only going to remind us of what Jesus told them. So the Holy Spirit is the advocate that is going to lead us in all truth. And in that, as Christians, we believe that the Holy Spirit has led the church in truth. Now, there's probably some periods of history, quite undoubtedly, that have been less, you know, less than stellar for the church. But that's because you're dealing with human beings. And we're all in a state of fallen nature, and we all have sin. And we have an ego, we have pride, and that gets in the way sometimes. And unfortunately, there's, you know, at times there has been some sad divisions in the church, and there still are. There's many. But in all of it, God's word is still being proclaimed. People are still coming to faith in Jesus, the Messiah, in spite of us.
And that's a little bit about that. That really leads into what we're going to be talking about here, because it's despite our weaknesses and despite our failings and despite our flaws that the plan goes on. The kingdom goes on. The plan of salvation continues to unfold. And we're being used in that plan, even though if it was up to our efforts, the church wouldn't be out of Jerusalem yet from 2,000 years ago.
Doors probably would have been closed. But, and, you know, I say in spite of us, but there's, we have to cooperate with God's grace. And there's times where we do that better than others. And sometimes we fall short. But in cooperating with God's grace, we really have to empty ourselves to be a servant. And, you know, Jesus told his, the two disciples were going, we want to sit on your left and on your right.
Yeah.
And he's asking, well, can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? And they're like, oh yeah, we can do that. He goes, well, you will, but you're not going to get those two seats. And
it's not going to be the cup you're thinking of.
And so it's really emptying ourselves and placing ourselves in a position of servant, of being a servant to those who God places before us. Because in all of this, you know, we see, we would see many times that Jesus would rebuke the Pharisees. And even in the story of the Good Samaritan, you know, he's saying, look, you had two people walk past this person that was left for dead. And I'm paraphrasing here. But because you don't want to, you know, you would be considered unclean. Here comes this Samaritan who is unclean, but they showed the person mercy. Why was he telling the Pharisees these types of stories over and over and over again? Because they were so caught up in, not that the law wasn't important, but they were so caught up in being religious that they lost all compassion for bringing the light of the Torah, the light of the five books of Moses, the light of the Old Testament being a light to the nation. Yeah, Moses had five books.
Okay.
And to be, because they were called to be a light to the nations. And how do you be a light to someone if you keep it to yourself? You know, and you don't show God's love and mercy. In our day, you know, Jesus, he was tested. Master, what's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. So, I hear some music.
Wow. Is that Paul Wilbur?
I think that is Paul Wilbur.
Wow, we're coming up on our first break already. We're just getting into the material. Well, we're going to let you listen to this awesome song here on The Gift of Grace. And remember, Gift of Grace is on Facebook, so you can search for us. And at www.giftofgraceministries.org, you can hear most of the radio shows from this year have been archived, and there's some Bible teachings and some other teachings in there. So we'll be right back in a minute or so. Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. Boy, that's an awesome song.
That's an awesome, awesome song.
Woo. Now, let's get back to Paul. Paul was not singing.
Well, Wilbur?
Paul Wilbur was singing that song. St. Paul was not singing that song. But we don't know if he sang or not. But
he would have been. If that song was around, then he would have sang that song.
He would have. He would have gotten out his guitar and joined in. I don't think he had a guitar. Anyway.
A lute.
A lute. Anyway. Right. So, you know, we're going to go to the book of Romans because, like I said, this is like the constitution. And Paul becomes kind of the pivotal figure in this whole business of going from law to grace. And he's the perfect example of what's happened. And in Romans chapter 3, I'm just going to read a little thing here starting at verse 9. He writes, "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Woo.
Wow.
What he's saying here is we're all like that. He says this applies to the Jews. It applies to the Greeks.
Mm-hmm.
It applies to the covenant people, the non-covenant people. It applies to the circumcision, the non-circumcision. This is where we stand.
Yeah.
And when he says everyone, he's talking about everyone. The Jews had the revelation of God. They had the Torah. They had the prophecies. I mean, these were big advantages compared to what the Gentiles had. But if you read through not only the Torah, but through the whole Tanakh, the whole Old Testament, you see the people continuously fail. They continuously turn against God. They continuously transgress the law.
Mm-hmm.
They're punished. They're restored. They're punished. They're restored. Because everybody is the same. Mm-hmm. Covenant people, non-covenant people.
Yeah.
So he says, are we better than they? No. But the point here is that we all get this free, and it's free, gift of grace. That's the name of this radio show.
Yeah, it is.
We all get this free gift of grace because everyone is under sin. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Greek. But this impact of grace comes in because God in his sovereignty is going to preserve his plan of salvation. He's going to honor his plan of salvation despite what we do, despite what the Jews do, despite what the Greeks do. And Greeks, of course, means all the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole problem is resolved by grace because the whole sin problem is resolved by grace.
Right.
And we're going to go on in a few more scriptures to find out, you know, what happens when you keep the law, even if you try to keep the law.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is grace as a free gift. And so Paul makes the point that it doesn't matter what your ethnicity is, and it doesn't matter even if you're the chief priest in Jerusalem or you're some guy farming a place in France, you're both under sin.
Yeah.
And that you are redeemed and justified by this grace because that's God's sovereign plan.
Yeah. And you know, in the final part of that chapter, it says, now we know that what the law says is addressed to those under the law,
yes,
so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world stand accountable to God, since no human being will be justified in his sight by observing the law, for through the law comes consciousness of sin.
Exactly. I think it's really cool that he says that.
Yeah.
You know, he uses the idea that the law is a mirror. You know, you say, well, I'm a pretty good person.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at yourself in the mirror, which is the law, and you say, I'm not as good of a person as I thought.
Mm-hmm.
That guy over there's not a really good person. I'm a really good person. Oops. No, I'm not really a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Or the opposite is also true. That guy over there is an awesome good person and I'm not. But then as you watch that person, you say, well, wait a minute. he's not really that good of a person either. Because the fact is, he says, there isn't anybody who's righteous, not one.
Right.
There isn't anybody who seeks after God, not one. There isn't anybody who follows the law, not one. And the scripture that you just read, I think the coolest part of that is that every mouth will be stopped because the whole world's guilty.
Right.
So you can't go to judgment and say anything.
And, you know, when Jesus, when there's the woman caught in adultery,
yeah.
Jesus gets on the ground and he's writing in the ground and he says, the first one among you without sin cast mm-hmm. the first stone.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. all, you know, one by one, they drop their stones and he asked the woman, where have your accusers gone? They all left.
Yeah.
Neither do I accuse you. And see, that's the awesomeness of God's mercy, because in that example, nobody could accuse that woman because they too were in some sort mm-hmm. of sin.
Sure. There was the question always comes up, what was he writing in the...
Right.
Some people say he was writing down the sins of the guys who were standing there.
Right.
Some people say he was writing the names of other men who had been with this woman mm-hmm. who were standing there. And so they all kind of went, oops, and they all kind of drifted away.
Yeah.
And that has the same... That's a good point you bring up, because along with every mouth being stopped, there's no defense. If you're judged strictly by the law, there's no defense. Everyone is condemned. Like David said, if you mark iniquity, then who can stand?
Yeah.
The answer is nobody. Because for those that are saved, there's no boasting.
Right.
We talked about that a couple of shows ago. There's mm-hmm. no boasting in heaven. There's no boasting on earth.
Right.
Because everybody's saved by grace. Everybody's saved by the cross.
Right.
Whether you're Joe Blow or whether you're Mother Teresa or whether you're Billy Graham, everybody's saved because of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you are judged otherwise, there's silence.
Yeah.
Every mouth is stopped. You don't have a defense, because when you stand before perfect justice, the question is, have you kept the law perfectly? And you're going to hear silence.
Mm-hmm.
And if all 6 billion people in the world are judged at the same time and everybody can hear, you're not going to hear any human saying anything.
And the only one that could come to their defense,
yes.
to our defense, is Jesus.
Yeah, amen. Because, you know, he says the law condemns.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't justify yourself by the law unless you keep it perfectly.
Right.
So if someone comes forward and says, yes, I've kept the law perfectly, then he can say something at the final judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be kind of...
find out.
Yeah. But anyway, but you know, it's the law condemns your action, because like you said, the law is the knowledge of sin.
Right.
It's the knowledge of wrong. And...
Right.
You know, Jesus points this out when he says, well, you know, if you grow angry with your brothers, the same as murder.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody goes, what? And he says, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery without doing the act. Everybody says, what?
Right.
And he says, if you call your brother a fool, you deserve hellfire. And everybody goes, well, then who can be saved?
Right. I mean, in essence, Jesus took the law, and the Israelites understood the law,
mm-hmm.
and the Pharisees, he basically notched it up like, you know, a hundredfold and
exactly.
said, okay, you think you're doing this, but
right.
here's what the essence of it is. And if you've even done these things,
right,
you're guilty of sin.
Exactly.
Because, you know, it's like where he says, it's not what goes into a person that defiles them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thoughts
yes.
that come out of the heart.
Yes.
And that's the essence of what he's getting at.
Yes. Exactly.
The thought of lust, the thought of bitterness, the thought of anger, the thought of revenge comes out of the heart,
mm-hmm.
out of the mind, not from, you know, eating or drinking.
That's right. Mark chapter 7. That's
yeah.
very, very powerful.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, then most versions have a little parenthesis that says, therefore Jesus declared all foods clean.
yeah.
But because it's what comes out of you that defiles you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Pharisees were worried about, you know, all these things. Were they giving 10% of their, you know, he mentions all these different herbs and mints and stuff.
Yeah.
Were they giving 10% of their money? Were they giving 10%? Because they were more worried about, am I doing that?
Yeah.
They weren't worried about what was coming out of them.
Yeah. Did you wash your hands and stuff
like that?
Yeah,
did you wash your hands? Don't pick the kernels on the Sabbath, you know,
yeah.
and all this kind of thing.
All these kind of things,
But,
yeah.
you know, the law when you stand before perfect justice, you have to have kept the law perfectly. Mm-hmm. And Paul's point is that nobody's going to be saved by the law, as mm-hmm. you just read.
Yeah.
No flesh is going to be saved by keeping the law.
And what's interesting is later on in Romans, Paul says, you know, oh, woe is me, because, yeah. you know, I do the things that I don't want to
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
And the things I don't, that I want to do, I don't do. And my, you know, the spirit and the flesh are warring against each other.
Yeah.
What am I to, you know, yeah. woe is me.
Woe is me. Who will deliver me from this wretched?
Yeah. Praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ.
I bet.
You know, he's like.
Yeah. And, but because of this sin problem and because of what we just said about how nobody's keeping the law, whether you're a covenant person, not covenant person, circumcision, non-circumcision, in Romans 3, starting at 21, is the key. I mean, this is such a powerful passage that it really is, you know, it's part of the kernel of the really good news of Christianity. It's the good news of the gospel. But now, he's talking about, you know, he says, but now, that means right now when he's talking. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean 1,000 years ago, doesn't mean 1,000 years from then, doesn't mean 5,000 years from now. But now, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, mm-hmm. being witnessed by the law and the prophets, because the law and the prophets kind of foretold this was going to happen, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Woo.
Wow.
So now there's a solution. It's a different solution. It's not the law. It's mm-hmm. apart from the law.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different form of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because we stand guilty. Because if we didn't have grace, we'd be in a hopeless situation.
Right.
We would be in a hopeless situation. How many lambs could you take to the temple, you know, for sacrifices? I mean, you'd have to be going every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd be in a hopeless situation. Then you'd have to hope that, you know, just before you died, you could get in there with the last animal before you took your last yeah. breath, or else you'd be condemned for sure.
Yeah.
Because we'd be in a hopeless situation. But this is apart, when he's talking about apart from the law, he's talking about the law of Moses. The law
right.
is the covenant. It's
right.
Torah is law. It's apart from the law of Moses. And it's a righteousness that he confers on us.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's not ours.
Right.
It's not something that we show up and say, look how righteous I am.
Right.
Look, I went to church for 57 minutes last week. How do you like that, God? Pretty cool, huh? Or, I helped the little old lady across the street. Huh? How about that? How many points do I get for that?
I went for 58 minutes last week.
Oh, so
I see, got you beat by
myself. See, he's boasting again.
You know, go ahead.
Yeah. You know, it's apart from all that. It's a righteousness that's given to us. We're covered by this righteousness.
Yeah.
And it's not something that we've shown up with some kind of merit.
Right.
To say, I read the Bible for an hour and a half last night, and 2 days ago I did this, and 3 days ago I did that, and last week I did this. So, therefore, I have this much righteousness.
Yeah.
It's apart from the law.
Yeah. And, you know, in the cross, when we look at the cross, that's God's justice,
mm-hmm.
and it's God's mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And in the cross, mercy and justice meet.
Mm-hmm.
And mercy triumphs over justice.
Yeah. Amen.
Over judgment.
Yeah.
And because his love is greater than our sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he says that in that passage that it's manifested. That means it's made plain.
Mm-hmm.
It's made clear. Here it is. We have to present the cross to everyone, like we said a couple of shows ago.
Yeah.
Everybody has to see it. Just like the bronze serpent in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so will the Son of Man be lifted up.
Yeah.
Then later he says, when the Son of Man's lifted up, I draw all men to myself. Because it's manifest, it's made plain. So everyone has to see it. And because it's made manifest, clearly, I mean, the bronze serpent was clear. Mm-hmm. The idea of the cross is clear. The sacrifice is clearly there.
Yeah.
We don't have to sit around and wonder, what's the way? We don't have to grope around saying, geez, I don't know. Is it this? Is it that? Mm-hmm. You know, do I have to go do this many this and this many that? Do I have to go? It's, you know, we don't have to wonder what the way is
right.
because it's made manifest. And
exactly.
it's apart from the law.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no Judaizing, you know, Paul calls it in Galatians, and if Judaizers are popping up, well, if you Gentiles want to believe in Yeshua and you want to be with us, here's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But they were Gentiles. They didn't know about all that stuff.
Right.
And you know, do you have to make them a Jew first and then they'll be believers in Yeshua and then they'll be in the, you know, the quote, the church or the congregation or whatever.
Hmm.
They were called at a time, it's apart from the law, because the righteousness is apart from the law.
And you know what you're saying there, the question you pose, okay, you have someone who's come to faith that mm-hmm. Jesus is the Messiah.
Right.
And you have the question, well, do they have to become a Jewish person first to be saved
mm-hmm.
and circumcised?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we look at it as, okay, well, they already have faith in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's obvious, no, because God's already poured out his spirit upon them.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, as we're saying, they're fresh from, I mean, there's, you know, they're still living they're observing the Tanakh. They're, mm-hmm. they're going to synagogue. They're, mm-hmm. you know, they're still doing all the things in their faith that was prescribed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as they're struggling with this, and even other people that are along the way, there's a lot of questions that arise,
mm-hmm.
you know, and,
sure.
and well, you can see it really clearly as to, well, God poured out his Holy Spirit and didn't show any partiality. And mm-hmm. I think you still have that today where people still think, well, you got to do this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, certainly, if you want to abide, you know, in James in the 14th and 15th chapters of John, you know, Jesus talks about remain in me and I in you,
mm-hmm.
and my Father and I will come and we will make our dwelling place in mm-hmm. you. And mm-hmm. you'll be a temple for the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
basically. So there is a whole lot to living in God's will.
Right.
And if you're living in God's will and you love fulfills the law.
Yes.
You know, you're not going to go out and harm your brother or sister. You're right. not going to do all these things that are unrighteous and those types of things.
Right.
But we're still fallen and
yes.
we still act out of humanness and pride.
Because Jesus points out that those things on love of God and love of neighbor, the law and the prophets hang
on those. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, back in this passage, you know, Paul says that this righteousness is foreshadowed by the law mm-hmm. and by the prophets. You know, when you, those of you that have taken my Torah course, you realize that everything that's there prefigures Yeshua. Everything mm-hmm. prefigures Messiah. Everything that's in the Torah. Not right. just the sacrifices, so many other things. And this is the foreshadowing. These were types and shadows.
Yeah.
And now the substance of it has come. You know, in the book of Hebrews, it says the Tanakh had the types and the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have the substance of it.
Right.
Because now we understand the sacrifice. We understand that Christ is the high priest, the eternal high priest. The sacrifice is once for all. And so the types and the substances have now become, the type and the shadows have become the substance.
Right.
Because now we have the real thing.
Right.
And then he adds that it's through faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, faith doesn't just mean you intellectually say to somebody, yes, I understand that, and I understand that Jesus is the Messiah. I understand that he died, and I know he rose again, and where are we going to go for brunch?
Yeah.
It's not, you know, an intellectual knowledge. It's
right.
a recognition and a revelation that goes on in your head. And as you said, it's prompted by the Holy Spirit, because Paul writes, no one can say Jesus is Lord except through the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So the faith that that righteousness hangs on has to do with recognizing him as Savior. And then right. he says, it's to all who believe.
Right.
It's to all who believe. You know, he was talking about Jew and Gentile. There's no difference now.
Right.
To all who believe. And the righteousness is from God.
Mm-hmm.
And since it's to all who believe, nobody is excluded.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, well, the people in Peru aren't included in this because of whatever. Or the people in Mongolia cannot be included here because they have this or they have the other thing.
Right.
It's to all people. It's open to all people. Because all have fallen short.
Mm-hmm.
All have violated the law. And so this grace, this righteousness that comes, is open to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you put that righteousness on like a robe. You know, it's the white garments of righteousness. You know, the book of Revelation, you see all these people are wearing white garments.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, you know, singing. And
right.
Because the white garment, it's, you know, it's this righteousness that comes. It's grace that freely is given to the people who turn to him, repent of their sins, accept him as Lord, and are in the kingdom.
They've been washed clean by the blood.
They've been washed clean by the blood. And it's undeserved. No one can come forward and say, well, you know what? I don't deserve this, so I can't have it, because nobody deserves it.
Right.
It's a grace that comes freely. And it's a powerful thing that is apart from the law. It's due to God's grace and mercy. And it solves the sin problem that everybody has.
Amen.
Woo. Paul Wilbur's back.
He's in the studio?
No. He's on. I hear him, though. Okay, this is Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. We'll be back in just a minute.
Just be glad. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. God has triumphed mightily. Let God arise. Let God arise. Arise. Let God arise. Let God arise. Let his enemies, be scattered, and let the righteous be glad. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. God has triumphed mightily. Let God arise. 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 Let God arise.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. Believe it or not, we're in the final segment.
Goes fast.
That's unbelievable. But just to finish up what I was saying, then I'm going to let Stephen say some things, because he's going to sing an awesome song when we're done with this. And, you know, because this grace comes freely, as I was just saying, it's free for us because Christ paid for it. You know, he's the innocent victim that's prefigured in the Torah with the unblemished lambs and the animals that don't have any defects. And the propitiation that Paul's talking about is by his blood, which is also prefigured. You have the Passover, you have the sacrifices in the temple, you have Yom Kippur, which is coming up next weekend. And it's a matter of, you know, the blood on the mercy seat. You know, the chief priest put the blood of bulls and goats and calves, you know, and a mercy seat, but Jesus put his blood on the throne of grace. He's the priest. He's the sacrifice. He's the altar. You know, all of this is accompanied in him because he reconciles the world to himself. And so it covers all the sins that are committed by everybody at all times.
Amen.
And so that's why it says he's the just He's just, and he's the justifier. He's the one without sin, but because of the sacrifice, he becomes the justifier and justifies us who are in our sins.
Amen.
I mean, this is just radical. I mean, this is still, you know, getting away from the point of I'm thinking, you know, Paul realizes all this stuff, and that's why he can't stop preaching. You know, he can't stop preaching.
Exactly.
And he twice repeats this is his righteousness, because yeah. this is the ultimate act. All the iniquities are laid on him. It's the ultimate act of sacrifice. And this is why Paul keeps saying, so who can boast? Mm-hmm. Where's boasting?
Yeah.
Who's going to boast? Are you going to show up and say, I've done all these wonderful things? No, because there is no boasting. And because Paul understands this, this is why he wants to preach Christ and him crucified. He doesn't preach anything else.
Amen.
Because nothing else is important.
Amen.
This is the radical transformation that he's experienced, and he's trying to preach it to the rest of the world to bring them into the kingdom, Jew and Gentile.
Amen. Woo. Amen, brother.
Apart from the law.
Apart from the law.
I'm getting a little too preachy, I think.
Yeah, I think the important thing to, one aspect that's important to remember is that, you know, Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. And Jesus fulfilled the law in his own body, in his own blood.
That's right.
Amen. And he says, you know, no greater life has any, or no greater love has anyone than this, but to lay your life down for your friend.
Mm-hmm.
We're to imitate the Messiah. But I don't think all of us want to go to the cross.
No.
So it's a high call. But having the life-giving waters that Jesus gives us,
mm-hmm.
it's an awesome responsibility
mm-hmm.
to live the gospel, to remain in union with him, mm-hmm. because apart from him,
we can do nothing.
We can do nothing. Yeah. Nothing. You know, yeah. we're the branch on the vine, and if the branch is broken off of the vine, it withers and dies.
Yeah.
So we have to remain in him.
And as you're saying that, you know, I'm thinking to myself, it was that way in the first century, and it's that way in the 21st century.
It hasn't changed.
Here we are 2,000 years later, and we're still in the same state. We have to rely on him. We have to be saved by him. We have to be justified by him. We have to be in him.
Because there's no other way to the Father.
Because
there's no other way.
And the world needs to hear this.
Amen.
So when Paul says, I preach only Christ and him crucified, we have to go out into this dark world and say, we have the solution to all of your problems.
Amen.
And even though you may think we're kooks, we're a bunch of wackos, this is the solution to the problem, and this is the way of salvation.
Amen.
Woo. Apart from the law. And, you know, there's plenty of Christian churches where, you know, laws come in and people say, well, you know, I've done all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, do you know the Savior? Do you know what happened on the cross?
Yeah.
Because that's where your destiny lies.
Right. As you said, you have to, you know, Jesus was lifted up on a tree
mm-hmm.
that all would look at him and see the righteousness of God.
Oof, yeah. Apart from the law.
You know, and his love for us is so great, and it's so overwhelming, and it's so beyond our ability to understand how much, even though we see Jesus crucified on the cross, it's so beyond our ability to understand the depth of his love, even though he physically displayed it in mm-hmm. dying for us. I think we should sing this song now.
Yeah, I think
you want to sing with me?
No.
Come on. All right. Well, this is a song by Jared Anderson, and it's called Amazed.
You dance over me while I am sing all around, but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How paint the morning sky with miracles in mind. My hope will always stand, for you hold me in your hand. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. And Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed.
Leads into another awesome song.
Wow. Wow. End of another show. That was good.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, thanks for listening, everyone, and have an awesome evening and an awesome Lord's Day tomorrow. And we'll be back next week with another Gift of Grace radio show.
And may the love of God fill your hearts. Have an awesome Lord's Day, everyone. Good night. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.